All right, so get this, you guys. Today we're going to be diving deep, into some cutting-edge research, and it's using AI to, predict missing step counts. It's like when, your tracker dies or you just forget to wear it for a while. It's all about, making those fitness goals a little bit more attainable. But here's the thing. This isn't just about hitting 10,000 steps. This research, the title of it is Temporally Multi-Scale Sparse Self-Attention for Physical Activity Data Imputation. And it's got some really interesting implications for, health research as a whole.
Yeah, that's true. Step count data, even when it's got gaps, can provide a lot of valuable insights, into how active people are and overall health trends.
Okay, so let's break this down a little bit. So the researchers used a massive data set, over 5.5 million hourly step counts from over 600 people. They even focused specifically on the time between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. because, I mean, let's be real, most of us aren't, doing laps in the middle of the night.
Right. And to add, like another layer of complexity, they worked with step rates instead of just, raw step counts.
Wait, hold on. Step rates. Why not just, stick with the total number of steps?
Well, imagine you only wore your, fitness tracker for like half an hour during a particular hour. Well, step rate, which is like step divided by wear time, gives us a much more accurate picture of how intensely you're moving during that time period.
Ah, okay. That makes a lot of sense. But I gotta admit, the phrase that really caught my eye in this paper was sparse self-attention. What is that exactly? It sounds kind of intimidating.
Well, think of it like a very highly focused detective, right? And this detective, he's scanning through your step count history, identifying all the patterns and relationships between the different data points just to figure out, what's missing.
So it's not just, filling in those gaps blindly. It's actually learning how you move, like your individual movement patterns.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I am curious about how it accounts for the fact that, how active we are can vary so much, not just day to day, but like hour to hour.
That's where that multi-scale part comes in, The model is designed to recognize and incorporate all those different time scales, right? For example, the researchers looked at something called the autocorrelation function of the data, which showed that there were these really clear daily and weekly patterns. And so the model actually takes those patterns into account when it's making predictions.
So it's like the model knows that you're more likely to be active, on like a Wednesday afternoon than a Sunday morning, even if it's missing data from those specific times.
Exactly. And there's this other clever aspect of this model, and it's called local activity profile representation, or LAPR.
Okay, LAPR, I'm all ears. Break it down for us. Yeah. It's essentially just a way for the model to understand the context of a missing data point. So instead of just looking at, say 2 p.m. by itself, in isolation, it considers like your activity in like the hours surrounding that time. And this gives it, a richer picture of like your overall movement patterns for that day.
So it's like giving the model this like zoomed out view of your entire day, to make a more informed prediction. It's getting spooky how smart this thing is. But I'm still wondering, how does it measure how similar those different time periods are? Is it just looking at the number of steps?
It goes beyond just those raw step counts. So the researchers, they use something called relative time encoding. And that's just a way to measure the time difference between the data points.
So it's not just how many steps you took, but also when you took them.
Precisely. That means the model understands that your activity, like at 8 a.m. on a Monday, might be super different from your activity, like at 8 a.m. on a Saturday, even if you took the same number of steps.
Okay, now it's officially mind-blowing. So they've built this like super-powered time-traveling step-counting detective. What did they do? Put it through like a data science obstacle course or something?
Well, you could say that. They compared it to like a whole bunch of other imputation methods. And these ranged from some very basic ones, like just filling in missing data with zeros, to some way more complex, deep learning models.
Oh, with like a data science showdown.
Exactly. And you won't believe who came out on top. Well, our sparse self-attention model, took home the gold. It just like consistently outperformed all the other methods, especially when, the amount of data that was missing was relatively low.
So it's like a champion step counter, huh? But I'm curious, like, how much better did it actually do? Was it, just like a little boost, or are we talking like a giant leap forward?
Oh no, it wasn't just like some minor improvement. Like in cases where there was, a moderate amount of data missing, this new model was like about 15% more accurate than the next best method.
Whoa, 15%, huh? That's a pretty big jump. Okay, I'm starting to see why this research is, you know, making such a splash. Okay, so back to that data science showdown, right? You mentioned that they tested like a whole bunch of other approaches, you know, from like the real simple ones all the way to the really complex. Can you give us just like a really quick rundown of what this model was up against?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, they started with some like really basic techniques. For example, there's one called zero fill. And that one literally just replaces any missing values with a zero.
So like if my tracker just died for an hour, it would just assume I was just sitting still doing nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it's a simple place to start, but obviously it's not, you know, very realistic, you know, for capturing those like really complex activity patterns. Mm-hmm. And then they also tried, you know, forward fill and backward fill, you know, which uses the last value that was recorded or the next one to fill in that gap.
Okay. So those are all, you know, pretty straightforward. What about like some of the more, you know, advanced contenders, right? You mentioned deep learning models. Those always sound like so mysterious.
Yeah, they do. But, you know, like at their core, it's really all about like finding those patterns. So one of the models that they tested is called BRITS, which stands for Bidirectional Recurrent Imputation for Time Series. And, you know, it's specifically designed to handle sequential data, you know, like time series data.
So instead of just looking at like these isolated data points, it's thinking about like the flow of activity over time, like how it changes.
Exactly. It's like feeding the model, you know, a story, and it, you know, learns to predict what happens next just, you know, based on the narrative so far.
Okay. Okay. I'm starting to get it. So that they threw everything but the kitchen sink at this problem, and this sparse self-attention model still came out on top, huh? But, you know, I do remember you saying it wasn't all, you know, smooth sailing. Like it struggled a bit when there were like huge chunks of data missing, right?
Yeah, you've got a sharp memory. Yeah, so when over 80% of the data was missing, yeah, the model's performance, you know, it did kind of dip a little bit.
80% does seem like a pretty steep drop-off, huh? Why do you think that is? Like, why does that happen?
Well, imagine, you know, trying to put together a puzzle, but you only have, like, you know, a few pieces. You might be able to, you know, make some guesses, but it's going to be a lot harder to, you know, see the full picture. And it's like the same principle here, you know, with too much data missing, the model just doesn't have enough information to, you know, work with.
I guess even a superpower detective needs like at least a few clues to, you know, crack the case, right? So are we like stuck with this, this limitation, or, you know, is there hope for improvement? Like what's next? What's on the horizon for, you know, step count imputation?
Well, the research world never sleeps. There are already some really exciting avenues being explored. One really promising approach, you know, involves using something called adaptive methods.
Adaptive methods, huh? Intriguing. Okay, what's the gist?
So, remember how we talked about the model using, you know, a context window to like analyze that surrounding data, right? Well, with these adaptive methods, that window size, it's not fixed. It can actually change depending on how much data is available.
So if there's like a lot of data missing, the model can, you know, kind of like widen its scope, you know, gather more context.
Precisely. Yeah. It's like, you know, like a detective, you know, adjusting their search radius based on how complex the case is.
Right? Yeah.
And another promising direction is incorporating what are called smoothing techniques.
Smoothing. Okay. Explain it to me. Like I'm trying to like, you know, draw a connect the dots picture, but like half the dots are missing.
I love that analogy. That's perfect. Yeah. Smoothing is like, you know, drawing those lines in a way that just makes sense even with those gaps. So instead of like, you know, making these really abrupt changes, you try to create like a nice smooth curve that just follows that general trend. And in the context of this model, smoothing helps to prevent those, you know, those wild predictions that can happen when you're dealing with like very sparse data.
So it's like giving the model a steadier hand. Okay, that makes sense.
Exactly. Of course, you know, these are just a couple of ideas, and the field is, you know, constantly evolving. It's really exciting to see like what the future holds, you know.
Yeah, it is. But you know, before we get too lost in, you know, the world of all the future possibilities and stuff, let's bring it back down to earth a little bit. I think it's time for the, you know, the so what moment. You know, we've been geeking out about this model all episode long, but why should our listener who, you know, who may not be a data scientist, why should they care about this research? What are the real world implications?
Well, you know, for starters, having more accurate step count data could like totally revolutionize, you know, personalized health recommendations. Like, imagine your doctor being able to, you know, use your step data, you know, even if it's got some gaps, to like create like, you know, a specially made exercise plan just for you, or, you know, to just like some lifestyle changes.
Yeah. It's like having a super informed like fitness coach who really, really understands your, you know, your activity habits.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's not just limited to like fitness. Mm. This research, you know, has huge implications for, you know, really any field that has to deal with like missing data. Mm. You know, think about air quality measurements, or, you know, financial markets, even to, you know, social media trends. You know, being able to accurately fill in those gaps could lead to like better predictions and, you know, smarter decisions, and just like a deeper understanding of, you know, the world around us.
Wow. Yeah. I hadn't really thought about it that way. It's amazing how like a study that, you know, seems so niche, you know, on step counts could have like such far reaching implications. You know, it really highlights the power of, you know, some creative data science to like really tackle those real world problems, you know.
It does. And, you know, it shows that sometimes like the most, you know, groundbreaking discoveries, you know, come from exploring things that, you know, seem pretty, you know, mundane. I mean, after all, we, you know, we all take steps every day, but who knew that those steps could like unlock so many, you know, insights.
It's a good reminder to, you know, to never underestimate the power of a good deep dive.
Yeah.
But speaking of deep dives, I have like one final thought-provoking question for our listener to, you know, ponder, think about. What if we, you know, took this imputation model and applied it to like something like sleep data?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, we all know, you know, how crucial sleep is for, you know, for our health, but tracking it, you know, consistently can be, you know, pretty tricky. So could a model like this, you know, fill in those gaps in our, you know, in our sleep records and give us like, you know, a more complete picture of our sleep patterns, you know, and what could that mean for like diagnosing sleep disorders, or, you know, just improving sleep quality, and even like, you know, personalizing those sleep recommendations?
That's a fascinating question to leave our listeners with.
Yeah.
You know, it really makes you think about just how much potential there is for AI to, you know, to really help us unravel the complexities of, you know, human health and behavior, you know, one step or maybe one sleep cycle at a time.
Beautifully put. Until next time, keep exploring, you know, stay curious, and never underestimate the power of a good deep dive.